Welcome to the United Cast. It's Entertainment Talks podcast for Man United. I'm your host Matthew, and today talking about our 1-0 defeat at home to Arsenal for the opening of the 25-26 season. I am already tired. To be honest, I don't know if I gained any energy between the end of last season and the start of this one. I think it pretty much stayed the same. I think there are some positives to take from this game. But how many more defeats must we face as a fan base? And I'm annoyed that I'm sitting here right now and I feel mentally tired already, and this is game day one. I'm kind of glad that at least for the moment we've got one game a week, because I think if we started doing this again twice a week, that I'd be drained within a couple of weeks if we carry on going like this. I said it since March. I said it, yeah, since March right up until now. This manager still needs to go. I am still confused as to why that did not happen. I was settled on the idea because it was very obvious after the cup final, the silence from the club around Amorim's future. There were some bright sparks in this game. I thought we did make some good chances. I still think there's some of the same mistakes sitting there. And it's interesting coming away from this game, because the overall consensus is Man United were the better team. They were just a bit unlucky. And Arsenal did a snatch and grab, which you could say those things are accurate. But if we were so good and they were so bad, which I think is true, why did we lose this game? You know, people were moaning towards the end of the last season that Hoyland, Rashford, Garnacho weren't putting in enough goals, which you could say is true, but another game has gone by where we haven't scored. And it is a shame that, yeah, okay, it does come down to one moment, one game-changing moment, and one poor moment. Which is indeed Bayinda's mistake. Is it still evident that we need a DM and a goalkeeper? We've got a new striker. We've got a whole brand new front three. Cunha and Bermo. Bumo and Bermo, I think his name is. And Sesko, who didn't start the game. Just to get onto that for a moment as well. So, for all of last season, a lot of people moaned about Hoyland, and I'm not going to sit here and repeat my whole thing about him, because I did an entire podcast about my thoughts on Hoyland and how I view the player and all that sort of thing. So before the game starts, I read news that Hoyland has been exiled from this team, and we're looking to give him an exit as soon as possible, whether it's a loan or a sale. Bear in mind we've got about 2 weeks of the window left. It will probably be a loan on deadline day or something. Same as Sancho, probably the same as Garnacho. So, you have Rasmus Hoyland, fit and ready to go, who played a good chunk of pre-season. You've got brand new 85 million or 75 million, let's call it 80 million, Benjamin Sesko, who people are excited for. I've never seen him kick a football before, so I can't tell you how good or bad he is. He's supposed to be a very kind of like Ibrahimovic-esque striker in the way of, not as in he's as good as Ibrahimovic, but the same type of player, like very tall, very imposing, very kind of like, you know, good in the air, that kind of thing. So this is the first thing I noticed today, and this is before a ball was even kicked. So I look at the team and I go, oh, there's no striker in the starting 11. There's no Hoyland, there's no Sesko. I expected to see, or maybe even Xerxes, although I think Xerxes is still injured. I'm not sure. I expected to see one of the three of them, but didn't see any of them start. And I see Mason Mount in there, and I realise, okay, he's going Mason Mount, false nine, Cunha and Mbeumo as the two tens. Okay, let's see how that works out. So, before the game starts, Yeah, you get the news about Haaland. The exit is on the cards. Bearing in mind, as of this moment, we have not sold a single footballer in this transfer window. We've now exiled. I don't know how much of an exiling Haaland has been labelled as, but you can put him down as number six in the exile list, joining Malacia, Anthony, Sancho, Rashford, and Garnacho. So in a game where the manager has said, okay, Sesko, because he's not had much pre-season, this, that, and the other, he's not quite ready. The whole point of having two strikers or two players in any position, because you can use this logic for any position, if you've got two players in one position, so let's say a goalkeeper and a backup goalkeeper, for example, or two right backs or any position, if one of them isn't ready for any reason, whether it's match fitness, injury, suspension, illness, not quite fully fit, anything like that, is you have a second option. And the way I look at this right now is Sesko is the one leading the line. Okay, he hasn't kicked the ball yet for Man United. Well, he has now, actually. Is you have Sesko or Højlund or Xerxes, although Xerxes is not an out-and-out striker, so he doesn't fit that number nine role in the same way. So, given the fact that the manager was aware that Sesko wasn't available in this game, you chose to not even put Højlund on the bench. Højlund's not even on the bench. And in the first half, where we did actually in the first half where we did actually get down the sides, get down the wings fairly well, and Bumo was pretty good, and Delo was pretty good on that side, and we're whipping the ball in, and there's no striker in the box. Because as much as you want to maybe moan at Mason Mount for not being there, he's not a striker. Cunha's not a striker, and Bruno's not a striker. And as much as you might moan at the quality of Højlund, if that's something that you want to do as a fan, it would have been good to have just one or the other there. And I think that was just a bit of a wild decision. Even if it's a case of behind the scenes, like a deal's been agreed or something, and you want to keep quiet about it, do the betterment for the team and put a striker up front. Okay, if Sesko's like not ready and you don't want to start him, I actually totally get that. It was a bit of a surprise, but I actually totally understand that. You don't want to, especially in a big game like this, opening day of the season, and you've kind of got this Gyökeres versus Sesko, who's going to do better on the debut sort of thing. And if Sesko's not ready, don't start him. But your other option was supposed to be Højlund, who's, as far as I'm aware, fully fit and ready to go. But because a deal might be on the table, you exile him from the team. That's just stupid and irresponsible and just. Yeah, so that was the first thing that annoyed me. That was before a ball had even been kicked, because I looked at the team and I was like, oh, we've got no striker. And then realised in the first half of, like, okay, we're actually crossing the ball in to nobody because there's no striker there. Anyway, let's move on from that. But remember, just remember this season, remember what we've been told in the media and in the press, that it's okay that we finished 15th. It's okay that we've got, I think, 7 wins from 27 games in the Premier League. It's okay that Liverpool won the league with double the amount of points that we did and equaled our title tally total, whatever. And we've lost the opening game of the season. Whether you think Arsenal were poor, and we were better than Arsenal in this game, but we didn't put the ball in the back of the net. But we're supposed to be relaxed about that. I'm not relaxed about that. I think that, yeah, so I'm already tired, and we've only just started. I just need this manager to go as soon as possible for my mental health, I think. Because I need somebody with different ideas and more than one idea. That is something that I personally require, and somebody who can win us more than 7 games in 27 games. Although that was before we lost this game when they showed that, so it might be 7 from 28, which is an utter disaster. But no, just relax, it's be fine, everything's fine. So yeah, let's just crack on and act like nothing is wrong, because apparently that's what everybody's doing. Should we get into? We haven't even got much to talk about for the summary. We've got substitutes. We've got the goal to talk about from a corner. The lineup, the player ratings, and the subs. and all that sort of thing. But that's my thoughts, is I'm not relaxed about the situation, because we shouldn't be. I suppose, okay, once Sesko is fully fit and ready, which should be by next Sunday, which is our next game, and you've got Mbeumo, Cunha, and Sesko hopefully firing on all cylinders, will one of them or one of our players get a goal? Or how will Fulham do against us? But we won't know that until next week. Should we get into the summary? What else do I want to talk about in this little chit-chat part? Nothing. I'm just... Yeah, anyway. So they score. They scored after... Was it 13 minutes? Was it that early? I thought it was much later than that. Calafiori... got a header. It basically comes down to Arsenal play like Stoke from corners. And look, as much as everyone can analyse Arsenal's corners and moan about them, it's effective. If you want to moan about their corners, which, okay, I'm moaning about that they've scored this corner, we did not do enough to stop it, and apparently not enough other teams are as well. So rather than the entire league moaning about Arsenal doing well from corners, how about one of us do something about it and try to figure out what they do from corners and try to counter it in some way, rather than everybody moaning about it. But no, people haven't really figured it out. Okay, they don't score from every corner, but they do the same kind of thing, don't they? But they scored from another one again, and Bayende should definitely be stronger here with his, it's more like a parry from corner, wasn't it? He should have punched it away, basically, just like David Raya did for his corner. Would Onana have done better? Would he even have done better? We'll never know the correct answer. But apparently we do need a new goalkeeper. And we also definitely need another midfielder. And we'll see what happens in the next 2 weeks with that. But corner's a corner. I never have anything interesting to say from corners. Especially ones like this. But they did it again. It worked. They got the goal. They stopped us from scoring. And they won the game. It is what it is. Alright, that was pretty much half time, and then an early substitution, 55 minutes, nice and early. Ahmad on for Dalot, which I thought was a good choice. I personally see a lot of people were talking about, okay, Casemiro, Mount, and Bruno. You would have taken one of them off for Sesko, which we know it's not going to be Bruno that gets taken off. You take Mount off for Sesko, for example. I wonder, because Sesko definitely needed to be played more in this match. Again, whether that was an option or not, we don't really know. I wonder if you could have taken off, because out of the two new guys, Mbeumo and Cunha, I did think Mbeumo was much better. I'm not sure about Cunha. Yeah, I don't think he's terrible, but I'll talk about that in the player ranks. I would have possibly moved Mount to where Cunha was and put Sesko up front. I actually think, for once, for a change, Dalot was having a good game at right wing back, which I think is his actual ideal position. But still not the worst thing in the world. But yeah, we just could have brought Sesko on a bit earlier than maybe what we did. Then they made some subs. Gyökeres got hooked off. He didn't look very good, did he? He didn't look very good at all. Have we dodged a bullet there? But we don't know how. I mean, we could go through this season and maybe Sesko and Gyökeres are both poor this season. So it's like, you know, because we could, either team could have ended up with either player, really, couldn't they? We could have got Gyökeres, they could have got Sesko. I think it was simply a case of both teams wanted Gyökeres as number one target. Whoever didn't get them first ended up with Sesko. I think that's basically what happened. But I won't say Sesko was poor because he didn't play that much, but Gyökeres certainly was. So, but yeah, and then Ugarte on for Casemiro, and Sesko on for Mason Mount, which I get it, Mount was in the 9 position, so you do a natural swap there, because our manager is sometimes incapable of being creative, unfortunately. Because I still would have done the same thing. I still would have done Cunha for Sesko, but then shift Mount to the midfield. With the Ugarte one, because he came on and Ugarte was very, very, very poor in this game, and Casemiro was alright, I think. Bearing in mind you're never going to take Bruno off because he's just not going to do that. I wonder if Cobby could have played a part in this game. But then do you take Casemiro off for Cobby? And this is the midfield problem that we've got now. Plus you're restricting yourself to selecting two of them, because if you select three of them, you have to take away from the front three. I don't know. I don't really know what the correct answer is. I think if you want to work heavy players in there, then you put Ugarte and Casemiro. Those are the two actual DMs, because Bruno's more of a forward or more of an attacking midfielder, and so is Coppi. Neither of those two are defensive midfielders, are they? And Collier is going on loan, and we don't have anybody else. So, and then they made some subs, and then we made another one, which was Maguire for Luke Shaw. I'm not sure who played left centre back after that, but I think it was maybe Dorgu or something. But that was pretty much everything. Yeah, that was it wasn't uneventful, because there was a lot of things that happened, but it just we just didn't get over the line with some of our attempts on goal. But yeah, anyway, that's all I have to say for that. There's probably plenty to talk about in the player ratings and whatnot. So let's take a break, come back, and do player ratings. See if that in a minute. Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps, and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Alright, so moving to player ratings. I'm sorry if I sound like this already. I'm just genuinely already tired of this season. although I don't think it's necessarily just me being tired from this season. I still feel like I'm hungover from last season in some sort of way. And the thing was, I wanted more of a break from football between June, whenever the Europa League final was, and August. I don't feel like I got that, because obviously you had the Lionesses doing really well. That sort of upped my football spirits a bit. You had the Club World Cup, which I tried to ignore, but it just kept being there. And then you had, like, obviously all the transfer news and stuff. So football just didn't really go away this summer, did it? And I just, even though Man United obviously weren't involved in the Club World Cup, thank goodness, and obviously, women's football is the women's football, which was definitely one of the highlights. And obviously, you got things like the Palace game, you know, like the FA Cup final, and their Community Shield win and all that. So football itself just never really went away. So I still feel like thank goodness we are playing once a week, because I can't be dealing with 2 of these a week right now. But hopefully I get some more. What I need is some better football and some goals and some wins. That's what I need. That's what will cure this hangover. Anyway, let's talk about man of the match first. I think I'm going to give it to De Ligt. De Ligt is one of my favourite players anyway, somebody I really like. But he just dealt with Gyökeres the whole game, didn't he? To the point where Gyökeres was hooked off. There were several big tackles and blocks and stuff that Vilic did. I think he blocked Saka's shot at one point near the end of the game, and was just absolutely rock solid. So really, really impressed with him. So I'll give him a 10, naturally, and man of the match. Bayende, you'd have to give him a 5. His distribution was actually very, very good, but that's the thing of a goalkeeper. You can have a decent game, which he did make a few decent saves, and distribution was quite good. You make a mistake like that, though, from a corner where you just don't look strong enough, it's going to knock your performance down. So, excuse me, as much as he was good at other things today, just that mistake, it's a big noticeable one. So that's a shame. Lenny Yoro, I'm going to give a 9. I thought he was really solid again. I can't think of too many things he did wrong in the game. And looked like one of our brighter players in at least the parts of preseason that I saw. So he looked very good. Luke Shaw, it says a 6 here. I'd probably agree with that. He was fine. He was all right. Did deal with Saka pretty well, although that was some of that was Dorgu as well. But just, I don't know, there's a big talk this summer about like culture change and rebuild, things like that, and when you've still got people like Luke Shaw hanging around, it just feels like you haven't moved forward, you know what I mean? Anyway, gonna give him a 6. Dalo, I'd probably give an 8, maybe. I thought it was quite good. I thought he did get some good crosses in the first half, just we didn't have a striker on the pitch. So he was pretty decent. Casemiro, I thought was alright. I'd probably give him a 6 as well. Did get run through a bit, but the thing is going forward until Amorim possibly gets sacked, because he could get better. I don't think he will, but he could. You keep playing 2 midfield against the 3 midfield. It's almost kind of like as much as I hear about things named Belieber, and I have seen some of him, and he does look like what we need, but you can have whoever you want in those 2 in midfield. It's just sometimes 3v2 each time, almost. And I just, with the 4 players we have in selection, and you keep playing the 2 against the 3, I just don't know that anyone's going to look amazing in that midfield, really. So yeah, the idea of having like an 8 there and a lone 6, like whether it's Ugarte is the 6 or Casemiro is the 6 and Bruno's the 8 or Kobbie's the 8, I don't really know what the better combination is. Because you've got Ugarte, who's suddenly turned into this weirdly clumsy footballer, and then you've got Casemiro, who obviously his legs are an issue, he can't play 90 minutes consistently. So what do you do? You know what? Because we do have a good amount of centre backs, you should maybe play like a centre back there or something, just to try something else. I don't know. Just somebody who's got more legs in them or something. But anyway, yeah. So I'll give Casemiro a 6. I'll give Bruno, I'll give him a 7. He was fine from what I remember. But that was those two. Dorgu, I thought, was pretty good. Did it the post at one point. I thought that was a pretty good shot. So I thought he was pretty good. I'll probably give him a 7 as well. And Bumo, I thought he was probably our second best, top 3 players. So probably Dalot, Yoro, and Bumo, I thought, were probably our best 3 players. I like the look of him. You know when, like, even though he hasn't done anything yet, you know when you see a player get on the ball and you can sense something from them. You can sense, like, his ball control is excellent. I don't think I watched him miscontrol the ball once. I think it's going to depend on who the wing back is next to him as well, and obviously who the striker is up front. But I like the look of him quite a lot. I do think so. Not that it's worth comparing him to Cunha, but I do think he looks better than Cunha so far. He looks quite strong. He does look quite quick. Don't quite know what his shooting is like yet, although I've seen, you know, some of it. But I do quite like the look of him so far. It just will be good if he's in a better system. So, I'll probably give him an 8. I thought the intentions and the ideas are there, just not quite the execution yet. Cunha, I thought, was good. He probably should have at least put away one of his chances, though. Like, he did have a good few chances in this game, and I thought we could have done with putting one of them away. So I'll probably give him a 7. And then Mason Mount did get involved a lot in a lot of the build-up, but again, the problem we kept running into before Sesko was subbed on is the build-up was pretty decent at points. It was a little bit scattergun, and there was a little bit of a lack of plan there. But because he kept dropping deep to pick up the ball and, like, knock it wide, there just wasn't that player in the middle of the pitch, which was a bit frustrating. So I'll probably give him a 7 as well. I thought it was quite good. Did get subbed off, didn't he? So, yeah. All right, let's move on from that. Talk about the substituted players. Ahmad. I thought him and Mbeumo were both quite good, but they kept sort of getting in each other's way, I think, at some point. I don't know if there's, like, are they too similar to each other or something? I'm not sure, but then, okay, if you've got those two positions on the right, which is the right wing back and the 10, I don't think you play Mbeumo right wing back. I think Ahmad is the better fit for that, but, like, I don't know, maybe that just hasn't quite clicked. You also do have the fact that you've got two players on the right side who are left-footed, whereas with, let's say, Ahmad or Mbeumo on that right 10, and then Dalot on the right wing back, who's right-footed and can, like, whip the ball in better or easier, I don't know what you do there. I'm not sure. So, I think there's options. I'm just not sure. Like, I don't think you play one of them up front, because again, you bought Sesko. I don't think either of them fits, like, the left 10 slot. I don't know, and I don't really want them to be in competition with each other, because I do quite like both of them, so maybe they can figure that out together. Ugarte, probably our worst player, just give the ball away constantly, probably give him a 4. Sesko didn't really get a chance to actually do that much. He got subbed on in the 65th minute, so I'll probably give him a 6, and Maguire, I thought, was pretty decent as well, give him a 6 as well. Alright, on the bench, just to read that out, we had Ahmad, Fredrickson, Heaton, Heaven, Maguire, Kobbie Mainoo, who we didn't see, Sesko, Ugarte, and Xerxes. So Xerxes was actually on the bench. Yeah, why didn't he start? I don't know. Seemed very set on, like, Hoyland's not playing because a deal might happen, and Xerxes can't start because, I don't know. Xerxes can't start. So, missing players, Hoyland, it says inactive, Martinez with a knee injury, Mazraoui with a thigh injury, and Onana, it says coach's decision, because, Heaton took his place. So, all right, that's it, that's game week one. Oh, look at that, we're 15th again. We actually are, as well. It's not even, we're right back to where we left off. Obviously, not everybody's played yet, and all that kind of thing. Man City at the top, Sunderland, Tottenham, Liverpool, Forest, and Arsenal, they got their wins. Everybody else got a draw, and then it's only Everton and Leeds that haven't played yet, but they can't climb above us because they already are. I know it's only game week one, things won't even themselves out till about the 5th or the 10th game week. But yeah, we're right back to 15th, right back where we finished off. But remember, we're not allowed to panic. Everything's fine. Let's just remind ourselves, what's the next couple of games that we've got? We've got Fulham away next Sunday. And then on the 27th, which is a Wednesday, we've got Grimsby away in the Carabao Cup. And then Burnley at home, City away. Those are our next, like, couple of games. And then Chelsea at home, Brentford away, Sunderland home, Liverpool away. So some difficult fixtures coming up. I think it's now a case of, if you had Sesko there instead of Mount, So if you play near enough the same team against Fulham, but you put Sesko in there instead of Mount, and you see how all that front three clicks together, how does that look? But I still have so many concerns about this whole thing that I don't even know where to start with listing them, but just for me, it's that those selection of four midfielders and putting two of them in at once. It just, I think that's just our biggest barrier. I really do. But we'll see what happens, I suppose. We'll see if we have any points by next weekend. I think it's the same time next weekend, 4:30. So same time next weekend, and then Wednesday night, Grimsby. I don't know how good or bad they are. I don't keep an eye on what Grimsby do. So we'll see if we can progress past the whatever round it is of the Carabao Cup. Hopefully not get knocked out too early from that. And by the way, because I can see this happening already, if we do lose to Grimsby and it's, oh, we're just focused on the league, I don't buy that. Like, there's been a few times in recent seasons when Man United have not started off well and got knocked out of the Carabao Cup really early. It's like, oh, it's only the Carabao Cup. It's like, well, did you not want to win it? Did you want to get knocked out there early? Is that what, like, we're looking at? I don't know. Sometimes there's too many excuses flying around. So, anyway, but I'm done for this one. And I don't feel like I did analysis, really. I just sort of talked about the game and how I still feel, which is still exhausted. But it's both from further exhaustion from losing another game of football and my hangover from the end of last season, which never got sober from that hangover, I don't think. But we'll see what happens with transfers in the next couple of days. Only one of those five players, or the six players if we do count Hoyland, have actually left, although Rashford has not been sold, so we've not made a penny from sales yet. What the hell is going to happen if we don't sell Garnacho? I mean, I want them both to stay, personally. And Hoyland. The only one that I'm really alright with leaving is Anthony, because he actually did well at Betis. But will we actually sell any of those remaining five players? I don't know. We better not do accept the 30 million for Garnacho. That's really embarrassing if we do that. I will not be happy about that at all. Anyway, let me know your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on this match. Are you happy? If you are, please do tell me why, unless you're a rival fan, unless you're an Arsenal fan or something. But what did you think of the lineup? What do you think of no Sesko and Hoyland starting, and no Xerxes starting as well? What do you think of our two new lads that started in Cunha and Mbeumo? What did you think of those? I personally thought that Mbeumo had a better game. What do you think of our midfield conundrum? Who was your man of the match? And what do you think of everything else? Anyway, Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, social media is eTalkUK or Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, Man United podcasts. Did another film review this week, which was fantastic, for First Steps. Did another gaming talk this week. Finished doing our refreshed Breaking Bad podcast for Season 3, Episode 13. Weapons is up next for me with film reviews, and then there's other TV stuff I'm watching to do podcasts on, and I'm currently playing Expedition 33 to do a review for that next, so look out for all those. Of course, United Cast will be ongoing now. We'll see how all this goes, but anyway, if you like what you've heard and you want to check out more of what we've done, check out the podcast in the places that I've mentioned. What about social media? And if someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. There's a bunch of film reviews I've done recently, so check those out as well. Like Superman, Fantastic Four, Jurassic World, all those sorts of ones. So do that as well if you can. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers for the ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geek Town Radio is back in full swing on Geek Town Radio on podcast platforms. That's on Tuesdays. You can look out for that. And geektown.co.uk is, of course, still going with its TV and film news posts. And you can also check us out on YouTube for various different things over there. All right. Let's see what we do next week. That's all we can do, really. Thanks for listening, and let's see who scores the opening goal of the season. All right, thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.